And Scott came to us 3 years ago, Easter, I believe it was. And when I found out he was from Fuquay, Varina, I said, oh my goodness, never expecting to see him again. The next Sunday he was here, and I said, oh, we're so honored. In 3 years, I think he might have missed two, maybe three Sundays at the most. He is a delightful person that has touched everyone's life that's sitting in this congregation today. He truly is a servant of the universe in how he gives of his knowledge, he gives of his talent, he gives of his love. And so I'm so delighted and honored 3 years later to present Scott Nash.
I don't know if I can live up to all that, but thank you. I'm very honored to be able to speak today, and it's Palm Sunday, so I thought we would start with a little bit just about Jesus. And I have this song it's really a song that's read by Johnny Cash, and it's called Here Was a Man. Here was a man who was born in a small village, the son of a peasant woman. He grew up in another small village. Until he reached the age of 30, he worked as a carpenter. Then for 3 years, he was a traveling minister, but he never traveled more than 200 miles from where he was born. And where he did go, he usually walked. He never held political office. He never wrote a book, never bought a home, never had a family. He never went to college, and he never set foot inside a big city. Though he never did one of the things usually associated with greatness, he had no credentials but himself. He had nothing to do with this world except through the divine purpose that brought him to this world. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. Most of his friends ran away. One of them denied him. One of them betrayed him and turned him over to his enemies. Then he went through the mockery of a trial and was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And even while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he had in this world, and that was his robe. When he was dead, he was taken down from the cross and laid in a borrowed grave, provided by compassionate friends. More than 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he's a centerpiece of the human race, our leader in the column to human destiny. I think I'm well within the mark when I say that all of the armies that ever marched, all of the navies that ever sailed the seas, all of the legislative bodies that ever sat, and all of the kings that ever reigned, all of them put together have not affected the life of man on this earth so powerfully as that one solitary life. When I hear that, it's so interesting to me because I think, well, why is that? How can this one person have affected life on earth so much that he's still the focus of so many religions, the focus of so much positive in the world? What is it? And I think, well, was it the miracles that he performed? He did wonderful things. He could bring somebody back from the dead. He could heal people. And those are great things, and maybe that's part of what carried on his legacy. But those people, to me, I don't know who those people are. They've long since passed. They don't affect me personally. What I think it is it was his... He spoke the divine truth, the cosmic truth that's over every religion. And so that strikes a chord in people. When you hear truth, people go, yes, 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 I understand what you're saying. And those truths that he was preaching were love, forgiveness, all those things. And all of those things, you could walk into any religious institution and preach those things, and everybody in there would say, yes, 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 you're right. Now, I'm going to use an analogy, and it's probably not the best analogy. It maybe is the worst analogy, but it's like the cosmic God that's over everything, right? The supreme God, that's where Jesus was in tune with, that God. He was getting his information from the source. And so that source is kind of, to me, like the mob leader. And I only said I've been watching The Sopranos lately, so right. So like the mob leader, he's at the top, right? He's the supreme guy. And then he has all these capos under him, right? The capos are like the different religions and churches. And sometimes those capos have their own agenda. And sometimes they misinterpret what might be coming from the boss. Maybe the boss is saying, hey, take care of this guy, and they go whack him. But like he really wanted it to be taken care of. And so really what it is for all of us, we can really go to that source ourselves. But the different religions, they do play an important part, and they can help us in a lot of ways. Like for me, Buddhism was a great big help to me because there's practices of meditation and on loving kindness and forgiving and all those things. All those things that actually lead you to a better understanding of the divine overall global truths. And so if there's a practice that leads you to that, then that's what you should do. If it cannot help you in that way, then you should just forget about it and move on to something else. Now, how was Jesus able to get into that flow so much that love and all of those lessons could pour through? Well, Ralph Waldo Trine, in his book, In Tune with the Infinite, describes a reservoir on top of this mountain and this river coming down, and it's flowing into this lotus pond on this farm. And that pond supports all these fish and animals, and on a Sunday, people will come from church and have a picnic there, and the property owner liked that. He liked having the people, the kids play, the animals. One day, that property gets sold, and the new owner puts up a do not trespass sign, and he dams up the river going to the pond. So the pond dries up, all the fish die. It starts smelling bad. He doesn't let people come there for picnics anymore. There's no life there. It's a barren wasteland, basically. Well, Ralph Waldo Trine says that is the exact same way that man blocks out the divine flow. It's not that the divine flow isn't there waiting to pour down upon us. It's that we're blocking it from coming to us. It is there. It's ready to be opened up. And all we have to do is open ourselves up to it. You know, there's a tendency that we have to run around to this psychic fair, this teaching. And really, we don't have to do that. All you have to do is sit by yourself, look into your heart, and the answers will come. It's not a quick fix where you get every answer that you're looking for in 1 minute. It's a slow growth understanding of yourself, your place in the universe, how things work, how things flow. But the key to it all is living from your heart, not from your head. I don't think you could find one person, whether they believe that Jesus did miracles or not, or that they believe he was the Son of God or a man, that would say Jesus was a bad person. The stories that resonate with me with Jesus are the Good Samaritan, the boy who gives him the fish and bread, and it multiplies. And I think maybe that multiplies because of the giving heart of the child. That love that came out right then, that was the cause for the miracle to happen. It's that kind of energy and vibration that if we live in that flow in that moment, we can be part of it. Part of the thing is we close ourselves off to that flow in a lot of ways. I remember when I was little, I was raised Christian. I mean, we went to church every Sunday. I went to a Christian elementary school, a private school. So, I mean, we had church every day, basically. And I would always have that little voice in my head going, ooh, do this. And it would be the right thing to do. But at some point, you get caught up in the worldly things. You get caught up in wanting to fit in with other people, with kids your own age. You have all these things, and one time you just say, shut up, go away, I'm just going to do things my own way. And the minute you do that, you have fallen out of the flow. Now, we all have our own path, so there's no one answer I can give anybody about what they should do. Because everybody is individual, they have their own life plan, they have their own goals that they set before they came. But I know if you try to live with a forgiving heart and you try to live in love and you do the best you can every day to do those things, you will get closer and closer and closer to that divine flow, and your life will flow in a way that you don't have to be the controller of it. You can just sit and go along with it, and all the things that are meant to come to you will come to you. Now, I know coming here has changed so many things for me in the last 3 years. I'm a different person. Those of you who know me when I first started coming here, I know you can tell there's a difference. I see it. I see a difference in a lot of people that come here. I'll give you an example how to listen for this little voice that comes. I had a problem with my neighbor last week or so, and I woke up one morning and I was really upset about it. Not as upset as I used to get, but I was still upset. It was still a problem in my mind where I was thinking about him with an anger there. And I went to go about my work day, and all of a sudden I just kept on hearing the song, "I've Got Peace Like a River," right? I've got peace like a river. And I'm just, that's not a song that normally pops into my head. And it was just over and over and over. And there would have been a time when I would have said, "No, I don't. Go away and leave me alone." And I'm not kidding about that. That's the truth. But in this case, I said, "Okay, I understand. I do. Yes, I have peace like a river." And then it was gone. And then I'm in a better spot again. It's because every thought that we have that we put out into the universe, it comes back. It just does. The other day when we were sending healing from our meditation classroom, I could see the energy rising up in rings going out to the universe, and it's I'm sure that's just a small part of what is actually happening. What's really there hidden to our senses is an incredible thing. But I know the more I try to become a better person and put the practices into my own life, the better and better and better my life has become. Like, I had a pretty good life before I came here, and now miracles happen every day, every week. Strange things that I never thought would happen, people that I meet in different countries that contact me that are willing to do things for me that friends that I've known my whole life wouldn't do. And it's like, whatever you put out there will come back. You'll attract the people that you are like. You'll attract that energy that you put out there. And we all have that ability to become that Christ. He had no credentials but himself, and neither do any of us. That's all we come with, too. No credentials but ourselves. And if we live in that truth and try to connect to that, we can be the portal for that divine energy to flow and come and share with other people and be that divine love just like Jesus was. And that's what he was telling us. You'll do greater things than I. When he came into town on Palm Sunday and they thought, oh, great, it's time for the new kingdom. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying was that kingdom is within you and you can find it inside of yourself. And that kingdom can exist here on earth with you. Because when you have it in your head, when you see the world in that way and you see yourself as that way, that is what your world becomes. It becomes a divine kingdom of love and peace and joy. And so I think we have to stop being afraid of being that. I think a lot of times we're afraid to be that. We're afraid to be our true selves, afraid to show love to other people, afraid to show kindness. And we hold on to things. We don't forgive. All those things just block us from becoming our true selves. And I'm telling you, if you can get rid of those things, the love and what you will feel inside is more powerful than anything else that you could imagine for yourself or do for yourself. It's just giving yourself up and over. And we make mistakes. We're human. We're always going to have problems. Connie told me, oh, no matter what, you're going to still have challenges. And I think that's true. But I also, when I first started coming here, there was one thing that really kept me coming. And it was, I haven't had it since. It was 2.5 years ago. I woke up one morning and I heard angels singing, like a choir of angels. And it was just beautiful. And my dad in the last couple weeks had like a clairvoyant vision, and he's not like that at all, at all. And the truth of the matter is, Connie said, spiritual experiences are not going to happen in the chapel. They're going to happen outside. You're going to be doing something else. That's where you are going to have a real spiritual experience, outside of here. And it seems that that is true. But the thing is, I think some of those spiritual experiences, they only will happen to you when you really need it. Like, I needed it at that time because I was asking the question, is this real or not, to myself? Is it real or not? And my heart was pure, and I heard it. And I think they know, hey, I don't need to hear that every day. I don't need to hear that every week to know that it's real. I heard that it's real. That was my chance. That was what I needed to keep on coming here, to keep on going, and I did. And so I would just say to keep your hearts open and listen for that small voice. And don't be led by this. Be led by this. Because if, when you are, it doesn't mean that we can't stand up for what's right. And some of the things that are right is everybody having their own individual freedom. To me, that is the number one thing. If you have that, the freedom to be who you are, the freedom to practice the religion that you want to practice, to think what you want to think, and not be told what to do, that to me is the most important thing in the world. If you have that, you have everything. And so I'll just say, live from your hearts. God bless you. I love you all. Thank you so much.